Blog Talk Radio.
You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other help I know. You are my
Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler. This radio show is dedicated to spreading the truth of God's word, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful that you are tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, just give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my special guests on this radio broadcast, you can send me your emails to the new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com, or you can give me a call to the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Save my soul from sin.
To this radio broadcast, Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask you to bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we praise you will be my special guest speaker, Clay Phillips, as he breaks unto us the bread of life. We pray that you'll continue to bless his efforts to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you would be with our listeners who are tuning in through Blog Talk Radio and also through social media, Facebook. We pray that they may listen well, and as they listen, they may consider their eternal stance before you and that their hearts may be pricked, that it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're just so grateful for his precious sacrifice on Calvary's cross. For we recognize without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask that you'll forgive us for the transgressions of our own heart. We know that our flesh is weak and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the broadcast this evening. In the first segment, my special guest speaker will be Clay Phillips. He serves as the evangelist with the Rose City Church of Christ in Thomasville, Georgia. And Brother Clay is also one of my co-hosts on the Gospel Light radio show that airs here on Thursday evening here on Blog Talk Radio. We won't have a guest in the community corner. I just had a last minute cancellation before the show went on the air, so we won't have a guest in the community corner this evening. But I also, in the last segment, I will be bringing a lesson to close out the show. So open your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my special guest speaker, Clay Phillips. Enjoy the show.
And if you miss me from singing,
sing it.
And you can't find me nowhere,
nowhere.
Come on up to glory.
Glory.
I'll be singing the
faith.
Yes, I will. And
I
know the Lord, he will greet me over yonder,
over on the other shore.
To glory,
glory,
I'll be praising the faith.
I'll be praising the
faith. Heard a minister say to the other day, Lord, going to heaven,
over
on the other shore,
over on the other shore,
way over yonder. You can't find me nowhere.
Nowhere.
Come on up to glory.
Glory.
I'll be singing the faith.
I'll be singing
the faith. Yes, I will. And
I
know the Lord. He will greet me
over
on the other shore. Come on up to glory. I'll be praising up there. Yeah.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Now, my special guest speaker, Clay Phillips, and his subject, When Worship Becomes a Curse.
Good evening. Once again, we are so grateful and thankful that you have tuned in to Block Talk Radio Station. Thank Brother Butler for doing a marvelous job in serving the Lord and getting the gospel out to a dying and perishing world. We're so grateful that those of you that tune in and often you tune in, and we're so thankful for your comments, and we ask you to continue to tune in with us. This evening, if you have your Bibles, we want to read an Old Testament scripture, then we'll go to a New Testament scripture. Old Testament scripture is Deuteronomy. If I turn the Bibles now to Deuteronomy chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 11, we're going to commence reading with verse 26 and terminate, if you will, at verse 29. And we find these words written: Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which the Lord God commanded you this day, to go, notice what it says, to go after other gods, small g, which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon my Zerum and the curse upon my Ebal. And so now let us turn to the New Testament, if you will, John chapter 4, and the verse is, Let's start reading at verse 19 and commence at verse 24. John chapter 4, verse 19 through verse 24, the Bible says, The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. Now remember, talking about two mountains in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy. It talked about Mount Zerum and then Mount Ebal. So here is the prophecy being fulfilled. It says, Our fathers worship in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me say this first of all, just because you're worshiping God, you must understand the Bible give us, say, I set before you two ways here in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. So we're talking about the worship. So I want to look at, we always talk about the blessing of worship. And you know, I come to worship and I just thank God and praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And we talk about the blessing of worship. But there's also another side. Listen to me now. There is another side to worship and called a curse. So our subject this evening is when worship becomes a curse. When worship becomes a curse. In other words, now when we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 11, God is telling Moses, and Moses is penning this, Moses writing this. And it says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing. Now, worship can be a blessing, but not only can it be a blessing, but notice this, and a curse. He said, a blessing, now listen now, a blessing if ye obey the commandment of the Lord your God. In other words, Moses is telling us and telling Israel that when we worship God, we must understand that worship had two connotations behind it. Number one, it have a blessing. Number two, it have a curse. He said, the Lord command us to worship him, which I command thee this day. Verse 28, and a curse. So worship can become a curse. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But notice what it says. But turn aside out of the way which I command thee this day. In other words, worship is good. Serving the Lord, doing God's will is well. But God do not want you to turn aside. He says in verse number 28 again of Deuteronomy 11, he says, to go, now in other words, now this is where worship become a curse. To go after other gods, small g, to go after other gods. So if your worship is seeking after other gods, God said, listen, your worship is going to become a curse to you. You, whatever you're doing, if it's not predicated on the word of God, it's going to become a curse to you. And then Moses pinned here, he says, which ye have not known. In other words, you're going to seek after a God that you don't even know. And Moses said, and God is being sarcastic here, how can you worship something that you have not known? In other words, God said, I brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you turned your back on me. How can you do that? You don't have no relationship with this God. This God that you are worshiping, you do not know. You don't have no relationship with him. This God has done nothing for you. In other words, you are the God that you have is made out of wood and made out of stones. And then here you are calling yourself worshiping a false God that does not do anything for you. That you now notice what it says in verse 28, the last sentence. It says, which ye have not known. In other words, who brought you out of the land of Egypt? Who turned the water into blood? Who brought you out of Moses? Who helped you cross the Red Sea? Who fed you manna from heaven? Who brought water out of the rock? Who did all this? And now you are going to worship another God? I dare you. I dare you. God is telling Israel, I dare you. He says, your worship is vain. In verse 29, he said that it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God have brought thee in the land which he have promised that you shall possess. Thou, he says, and put the blessings. He said, then what I want you to do, when you get to the land that I promise you, he said, this is what I want you to do. I want, number one, I want you to put the blessing upon Mount Zeram. I want you to put the blessings upon Mount Zeram. Then he turned around and said, and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Now, God is putting here and setting in order the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is going to establish his kingdom. So now let us go to the New Testament and find the coming of this great prophecy, this great intersection of God. Turn now to John chapter 4, and the verse is 29. Now this is where we're going to find this woman knew about Moses' law. The Gentile knew about Moses' commandment, knew about the blessing and the curse. In other words, when you start worshiping God, you must understand that there's two connotations to worship. There's a blessing and there's a curse. All right, now let's see what the Bible says here in John chapter 4 and verse number 19. Just save some time. The woman said unto him, talking about Jesus, remember Jesus met the woman at the well. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. That one, he said, she said, in other words, her Jesus asked her for some water, and she said, I can't believe you're asking me for water. But the Jews have no dealing with the Gentiles. They have no dealing with us, and you being a Jew, and you're asking me for water, and Jesus said, now, if you had known who this really is, you wouldn't be asking me that. You'd give me some water. And so so Jesus, then he started telling about her life. He says, you had five husbands, and the woman, and the man you got now is not yours. Now, that's where we come in verse 19. And she said, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. In other words, now you didn't have to go there. the woman recognized. Now, you didn't have to go there. You didn't take all that. Now, you didn't go back telling me how many husbands I had, and the man I got now is not my own. Okay, I see. You're a preacher. You're a prophet. Then she starts. Notice that then she starts going to a religious conversation. Our fathers worship in this mountain. And ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So here, she was going back to what Moses was talking about, Zerum, and Mount Ebal. So here we have the blessing and the curse. So she said, and now in the old time, we find out that according to the old Moses law, according to Moses, she knew about the mountain. Isn't that something? Then in verse number 21, Jesus said to her, woman, I believe, or woman, believe me, that the hour cometh, notice now, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem, worship the Father. He said, let me clear this up. Neither in this mountain, nor in Jerusalem. So we need to establish here the motive for worship and true worship. So notice in verse 22, ye worship, ye know not what. A lot of folks are worshiping today, don't know what they're doing. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. In other words, God, I gave the Jews the pattern to understand that worship was going to come. And they misunderstood. Both parties, now the Jews and the Gentiles, misunderstood the true worship. That's why I said in verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father. How? Now this is the truth. In spirit and in truth. Now, this is true worship, in spirit and in truth. Now, if you do anything else different than that, it's going to be a curse. It's a curse. It said, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. In verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, the word, let's go back to the Old Testament now, to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Now, the word Zerum means the cutting in two. Now, notice what the word Zerum means, cutting in two. In other words, it means two distinct blessings. So when you look at when Moses said, God said, worship in Zerazum, meaning the cut in two, there'll be two blessings. In other words, it's telling us that when Jesus died on the cross, the veil split down the middle. Now, but both of the Jews and the Gentiles had a blessing. Now, I want to show you the Gentile. Let's go to Romans chapter. This is going to be good. Romans chapter 2. Now, remember our subject, when worship becomes a curse. So when we look at Romans chapter 2 in verse number 10, now remember the word Zerazum means cutting in two. In other words, God said there's two blessings. So God said, I want you to put the blessings on Zerazum, which means there are two blessings. There is a blessing for the Gentile, and there is a blessing for the Jews. So God has always predestined, that Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God on the salvation to the Jew first, then to the Greek or the Gentile. So God has always wanted one, but he said, for the best. Now, the Gentiles, they were blessed. Look at verse Romans chapter 2, verse number 10. We find these words written. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good. Notice it says now, that worketh good to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. So here Paul is telling the Romans, listen, now just because you are a Jewish nation doesn't mean God ignored the Gentile. They were blessed as well. They had Zerusalem. They were a part of Zerusalem, the mountain of blessings, just as well as you are. How do you know? For it only says, for there is no respect of person with God. Listen to me. God had no respect of person. The only reason he called the Jews was because that was his decision. Had nothing to do with he loved them better than he loved the other people. It's all about God having respect of person. In verse number 12 says, in Romans chapter 2, those that are following me, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. In other words, he said, I want you to understand this. Those that had not the law, which were the Gentiles, if they sin, he said they're going to die by the law. Now watch this. Listen to this. Where is God fair? Stay with me. And the Jews are going to be judged by the written law. Okay, verse 13 says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. So God is saying, listen to me. He said, just because you have the word of God and you hear the word of God doesn't mean you are going to be saved. Therefore, they're sitting up in churches every day are lost as a ball in high grass. When worship become a curse. Notice in verse 14. For when the Gentile, now did he tell us what the blessing of the Gentile was when Zerazum, the cutting of the blessings that the Gentiles had a part of the blessing of God. Notice now, did it tell us what the blessing were? For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Woo! Look at God. God said, listen, my zealism is a blessing. The word zealism means to cut in two blessings. He blessed the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And verse number 15 says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness, and their thoughts are meanwhile, he said, accusing or excusing one another. God placed the law in man's heart. When God created man, he created man in his own image. But notice now, God gave man in his heart. Everybody know there's something deep down inside of us. Let us know that there is a God. There's something deep down inside of us. Tell us there is a God. And the Bible says the Gentiles did by nature the things contained in the law. Even the Jews had the law, and Paul said, listen, just because you hear the word of God every Sunday doesn't mean you are saved. Just because you pray every Sunday don't mean you're saved. Just because you worship God singing don't mean you're saved. The Jews, they did it all the time. They became so bitter of God that I just don't even care about you. You hypocrite. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Yeah, you worship me, but you missed the point. Now, then in chapter 3, now, in chapter 2, it tells us about the Gentile blessing. So we just looked at The blessing of the Gentiles was that God had placed the law in their heart. They did by nature the things contained in the law. Now, in Romans chapter 3, it tells us about the advantage that God gave the Jews. Okay? Now, it says in verse number 1 of chapter Romans chapter 3, what advantage then have the Jews, or what profit is there of circumcision? In other words, now, so now the question is, then why we had to do all this ceremonial stuff? If that be the case, why did we have to do all this ceremonial stuff? Now, notice what it says in verse number 2. He says, much every way. Now, the Apostle Paul is telling his Jewish friends, because Paul was a Jew. He said, man, much every way. In every way, you had the advantage. So why is circumcision? Because God, through ceremonial laws, demonstrated his son dying on the cross. The advantage that the Jews had over the Gentiles, he's going to tell us in verse number 2. Listen to this. Much every way. Now that's old English, much every way. In every way, chiefly. Now the word chiefly means mainly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Why? Because man, y'all had the word of God. Woo! Hey, woo! You had the word of God. The Jews had the word of God. That's why the advantage. And here, even though the Gentiles did by nature the things contained in the law, they still wasn't not saved because there had to be a perfect lamb. Then the Jews had the law. What advantage did they have? They had the law. It says in verse number 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall unbelief make the faith of God without effect? For God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified by the sayings. That thou might be justified by the sayings. And might overcome when thou art judged. What saying? When Christ comes, he goes to say, that's what Jesus said, you have heard, it has been said. But nah, I tell you. And that's what Paul, says, let me wrap this part up in Romans chapter 10. Turn the Bible down to Romans chapter 10. And the verse number 1. He said, brethren, talking to his own people, because the Gentiles was really obeying God. And there are more people that are not attending worship. Even though you've got to attend worship. Now, I'm going to tell you now, you can't miss worship. I'm going to get to that point in a minute. But there are people that don't even come to worship service. And let me clear this up. We don't come to church. We are the church. The church come to worship. Okay? Now, here we find, it says, Paul said, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel, who in Israel, his brothers and sisters. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Here is people sitting up in the church building, worshiping, and their worship is becoming a curse. That's why Jesus was so disappointed when he came to his own. And his own received him not. Here you are worshiping me all the time, doing the will. He said, you know my will. And the Pharisees, and what was interesting, Jesus said, you make folks twice the son of hell than yourself. And we got to be careful about that, Church of Christ members. That let us not make people twice the son of hell than ourselves. Let us not be so cruel and mean spirited to people. And the Bible, Paul says, brother, my heart desire, we as children of God, those of us that are open to God, we should have the same desire in our heart. Brother, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They got the oracles of God, and they read them, and they fasting, and they're praying. And they go into church, and they have, I just got to read this. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. I just got to read this. You don't mind, do you? Matthew chapter 7. Let me read Matthew chapter 7, because it takes me too long. It says, judge not that you be not judged. And now, in other words, here he's telling, why are you judging people? See, church folk have become the most biggest judgmental folks in the world. And we got to quit that. We got to quit. Then in Matthew 23, I'm going to read that. Get out on these rabbit trails. When I'm studying, that's what I do. Matthew chapter 23. It says, and Jesus spake unto the multitude, and he said to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Look at them. They're sitting in Moses' seat and have made worship a curse. They have made worship God. God was not pleased with them. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens to be grievous upon the bond and lay them upon men's shoulders. But they themselves, listen to me, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers, will not hit you with one little finger. All you need is just put your finger there. Let me tie my shoes. You remember when I was young, my mother put a finger right there and let me tie my shoe, teach me how to tie my shoe. And verse 5 says, but all their works they do to be seen of men, they make broad their philanthropies and enlarge the burden of the border of their garments. They wear them big old garments and stuff. And love the uppermost room at the feast and the chief seat in the synagogue. Look at them making worship a curse. And it says, and greeting in the marketplace, and to be called a man, rabbi. I'm not your rabbi. And now I understand this. Now, there are people that still call themselves rabbis and reverend. And I don't understand that. I can't understand that. Jesus said it here. There's no way I would have done it here. It says, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. To what? All ye are brethren. That's why they call me Brother Phillips. And that's nothing wrong with calling the minister of biblical name. The minister, that's my minister. That's my preacher. Calling the elders. I was taught this by my grandfather. My grandfather was an elder. And my dad was a deacon. I've been in church truck all my life. And I was just like this. and I find out that I really was not worshiping God as God wanted me to. I had to learn that to make worship a blessing. Woo! Verse number 9. And call no man your father upon the earth. Not talking about your physical father, talking about spiritual father. I can understand how there are some churches, the Catholic Church, still calling their minister father, their priest father. I don't understand. How can you get by this? This is Jesus speaking here. There's no way I'm going to call you father spiritually. I'm not going to take a chance at that. And call no man thy father upon the earth, for one is your master, even Christ. So here we find. Here we find, if you will. Now, let me say this here. There are four different types of worship. Let me give you this before. I got about 5 minutes here, maybe. And then I'll go back. If I get some more time here, I'll go back and explain three descriptions of God, why we ought to be worshiping God and praising God and serving God. Why should we worship God? And we need to understand that. So I'm going to come back to that if I get a time on tonight. But let me give you the concept to understand that there are different types of worship. Okay? That there are different types of worship. I want you to listen to this. Brother Steve said, I got plenty of time. That's good time. Thank you, Brother Steve. Now, let me give you the four types of worship. Number one, there is vain worship. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, if you will. Vain worship. I'm going to give you all three. I'm not going to be able to do exposition on them or exegete them, but I'm going to give you the reading of them. Matthew chapter 15, and the verse is number 7. Ye hypocrites, where the Esaias prophesied of you, saying, This people draweth near unto me with their mouth. Notice, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's when you're worshiping God. That's when your worship becomes a curse. He said, listen to me. Jesus speaking here. In verse number 9, he says, but in vain, worship has become a curse. But in vain that you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Woo! Look at it. Turn your Bibles now to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I want to read verse 22 and verse 23. Acts chapter 17. Turn your Bibles now. Those are taking notes. Acts chapter 17, verse 22 and verse 23. And we find these words written. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars here and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. Very superstitious. Your worship become a curse when you are too superstitious. You know, we got folks here. If I bother some of you all, bear with me. That think that their seat in the church building, that they are not serving the Lord, they're not sitting in their particular seat. Hello? There are people that really believe that. And there are some folks that are so superstitious when it comes to the worship of God. And I know now, and I might get in trouble by saying this, that there are some churches that is only women by wearing pants. There's no such thing as pants in the Bible. They wore garments. They have men garments and women garments. The Bible says, even in the book of Deuteronomy, that a woman does not wear the thing pertaining to a man. In other words, you know the difference. Have some common sense. Amen? Okay. Verse 23. For as I perceive by and beheld your devotion, I notice your worship, I found an altar with this inscription, unto the unknown God, whom ye ignorantly worship. There's an ignorant worship. Then Colossians chapter 2. And I'm not saying anything that most church Christ folks don't know, but I'm not trying to preach anything else but the truth. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 20. The Bible says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, in other words, if you are a child of God, being dead with Christ means being buried with him in baptism, you're a child of God, you're worshiping God, you are a true worshiper. That's what this word means. This is what this statement means. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, that means you are a true worshiper. Paul said, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. From the rudiments of this world, what are the basic principles? Basic principle of the world. Why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to audiences? Why are you hooked and messed up and the messed up God worship? You messed up God worship. It has become a curse because we got to have communion before the preacher. Oh, we got to have communion. Are we got to have communion. Really? Are you all? The communion is this due and remembrance of me. And I was asked, even when I was at Southwestern Christian College in the late 70s, tell you my age, I'll be 61 December 12th. This Thursday, I'll be 61. But when I was in Southwestern Christian College, they were arguing about what you say at the communion table. So you say, this represents the blood of Jesus, or the bread of Jesus, the body of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus. What did you say? And I said, what the Bible says? He said, what? I said, this is what we say at Rose's Christ. This do in remembrance. That's what you said at the communion table. Are you arguing about the feminine stuff? My God. Okay. Calm down, Brother Phillips. It says, touch not, taste not, handle not. Verse 22. Which all are the perishing with the using. In other words, remember now, everything on this earth is going to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrinal meaning. Then verse 23 says, which thing have indeed a show of wisdom is real worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. He says now, why are you so hooked up and tired and messed up? What's wrong with us in the church today? We're worried about frivolous stuff. Our worship is becoming vain. Now turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's go back to the New Testament now. 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to commence reading at verse number 19 and terminate at verse 22. 2 Peter. Now remember, I said it is what? When worship becomes a curse. You all know by now how your worship can become a curse. Now, it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 19, while they promise, now talking about false prophets. Listen now, Peter is going to talk about false prophets. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servant of corruption. In other words, don't let your worship become corrupted by other people's promises, what they can do. Only God keep it from men talk slight concerning their promises. Only God keep his promise. For of whom a man is overcome are the same he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world, through the knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. He said, notice after you become a child of God, and then he says, you are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Then it says, for it has been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. Then he gave a proverb. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is returned to his vomit again, and the sow was washed to her wallowing in the mire. In other words, the dog go back to the vomit. That's when your worship become a curse. And the sigh go back to the wallowing in the marrow. Now, there are three descriptions that we must understand why we ought to worship God. Now, three descriptions why we ought to worship God. Number one, God is a spirit. In John chapter 5, let's look at John chapter 5. Let's go to John chapter 5. God is a spirit. Look at John chapter 5. Now, you remember, I want to read verse number 37 and 38. John chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, Jesus speaking here, hath borne witness of me. In other words, I'm the one to tell you what real worship is. Now, don't listen to other false prophets. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. He said, now, who are you telling folks how they ought to be worshiping? I'm the one. The Pharisees that messed up God's kingdom. Then in verse 38 says, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he have sent him, ye believe not. What makes your worship vain is that you don't believe in Jesus. You don't believe what Jesus said. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So God is a spirit. He is the original. Now, what the word spirit means, he is the original. Not only is he spirit, God is love. Write this down. I'm going to try to read all that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 13. God is love. And God is light. What does it mean by God is light? God is that ethical overtone of all of us. He is the one. Jesus came and died on the cross to give us an example of how we should live. And then, not only that, three descriptions of God. Romans number 2, God is divine. He's invisible. You can't see him, but you can know him. There are three things about knowing God. Number one, write this down. Number one is God is intelligent. God ain't a fool. God is intelligent, folks. God is intelligent. That's how you know that you're following God, is it intelligent. A lot of this foolishness we're doing up in churches is not right. Now, not only remember that God is intelligent, God is emotional. God is emotional. And we should learn to harvest those emotions. Jesus Christ showed emotions. When he came to Jerusalem, which represented the place of worship, you know what he did? He cried because the Jews were not doing what he asked. They had to build these big temples. They had the street looking nice. They had to hold everything alive. He said that not one stone shall be standing here because they have corrupted my worship. And then God is light. But I mean, he is the eye of all. In other words, for me, my eyes is the light. I'm your speaker, Brother Clay, but I truly, truly enjoy it. And I hope and pray that tomorrow night, Wednesday night, we worship Wednesday night at 6:30. Come worship with those that in this area. I hope and pray that your worship will not become a curse, but a blessing. How do your worship become a blessing? When you can demonstrate to others what God have done for you, forgiving others, praying for others, serving others, become a servant to God. I'm your speaker, Brother Clay Phillips. You must hear the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for your sins. You must hear, believe with all of thy heart. You must confess and repent of your sins and then be buried into the water to the grave baptism. And then I make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then according to Hebrews chapter 10, you remember I told you I come back to this, Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as the man of some is. Even though your worship might be in vain, do not forsake the assembly, because it is in worship that you learn. Find a church that you can go to. May God bless you, and remember this, keep it real.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665 or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you'd like to have your events activities announced on this radio broadcast, please contact me at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Or send me your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. The Deep River Church of Christ, located in High Point, North Carolina, is seeking a full-time evangelist. The ideal candidate would be outreach-focused with a desire to win souls and has the keen ability to appeal well to a cross-cultural audience. For a copy of the full job description, visit the homepage of their website at www.deepriverchurchofchrist.org. To apply, send a resume, cover letter, and three professional references to deeprivercoc@triad.com. On December the 14th, 2019, there'll be a 2019 New Converts Workshop, and the location will be at the North Greece Road Church of Christ, and that address is 1039 North Greece Road, Rochester, New York, 14626. For more information, please call 585-256-0190. And just a program reminder, Stevie B's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. The first Monday of the month, we're airing the live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show, special edition. That show will air from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And the next scheduled show for this special edition will be on January the 4th. On Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, we'll be hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. And each week on this broadcast, we'll have a guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ. We'll be presenting a lesson from the Word of God. We also have the Community Corner, that's segment for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services that they're offering to our community. Also, my co-hosts, Edward Bishop from Niagara Falls, New York, and Mark N. Skelton from Indianapolis, Indiana, will be presenting lessons from the Word of God on this broadcast. And then on Thursday evening, each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And I have 9 co-hosts on that show who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week we have 2 co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking questions from my Shout It Out platform on social media, Facebook, that I'll be posing to one of my co-hosts on that show. And then on Friday night each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting the Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast radio show. I'm playing some of the world's greatest acapella gospel music on that broadcast. We have the Story Glory segment the first Friday of every month. And we also debuting new music. We have some new music that we'll be debuting this Friday night from Daryl Smith. He's one of the former members of the Four Christian Stars. So please tune in for that show. We're also doing the Top 20 Countdown Show. The next scheduled Top 20 Countdown Show will be on December the 20th. Be counting down my Top 20 acapella gospel songs for the month of December. We're also doing the Marathon Show. Whatever artists that were featuring on that show will just be playing their music for the entire show. And the next scheduled marathon show will be on April the 24th, 2020. And we also, I'd like to give a shout out to, no, we have my on-demand episodes. You can't catch any of these live shows. You can always go to wherever you're getting your favorite podcast from. You can pull up my on-demand episodes. Just type in Stevie B's Media Productions. You should be able to see these on-demand episodes. And there are just a variety of these sites that you can go to now to pull up these shows. You can go to Podcast Addict, go to Listen Notes, go to Himalaya, go to the podcast app, go to LinkedIn. You can go to Beatport, go to Podbay, go to Chart Table. Also go to Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple iTunes, ACARadio.net, iWave Radio, MCCBroadcasting.com, IBCBroadcasting.com. YouTube. Go to my YouTube channel, Stevie R. Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B. You can also go to the Church TV Network on YouTube and see the playlist, Acapella Radio, to the World of Acapella, and also Deezer. You'll be able to see these on-demand episodes. I want to give a shout-out to all of my sponsors who are sponsoring these radio shows. Sharon Norwood, she lives in Chicago, Illinois, and her company is called Organo, and their slogan is a health product for healthier living. Also, Bethesda Memorial Funeral Director of Crematory Services in DeSoto, Texas. And my sponsor, Stanley Phillips. He's the owner of A Touch of Class Apparel in Little Rock, Arkansas. And my sponsor, Diversified Financial Network, LLC in Dallas, Texas. The owners, Mark and Charlotte Curl. And my sponsor, Cheryl Mirage. She lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's with the Compassionate Haiti Leaders. They've been serving Northern Haiti for 20-plus years. They invite you to become part of something greater than yourself. So please visit and donate to Haiti at www.compassionhaitileader.faith. And my sponsor, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch from Nashville, Tennessee. The three E's of Stevie B's Media production. It is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, we want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will conclude our program announcement. You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Stay tuned.
Hallelujah.
How many can testify this morning that the Lord is worthy of all the praise, the glory, and the honor? Gave his life on Calvary for a sinner like you and me. So we ought to just give God the highest praise, just to tell him thank you. Y'all want to help me this morning? Won't you help me sing?
Hallelujah.
Help me sing, yeah. No, he's worthy of praise, glory, and honor. I'm gonna give him the highest praise for all of my days. Y'all don't mind, just let me tell you a few reasons why we should praise him. Come on. See, God that focuses all of the morning. Yeah, clothes on the back, food on the table. Unable. Why we gotta give him the highest praise? That ain't all he done, all he done. With nails in his hands, nails in his feet, for a sinner like you and me. That's why we ought to praise him endlessly. Y'all, we didn't deserve it, no. Come on, we ought to give him all our praise. And y'all come on and help me sing this song right here. I said, let the Spirit, let it rise. Come on, let the Spirit, let it rise. The praises of the our King, excuse our King. Well, I'm gonna, and you wanna, we gotta, hey. I'm gonna let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord sing.
Let the glory of the Lord.
You ought to let it rise.
The
Lord has been good to you.
Glory
you gotta let it rise. Somebody say it. The praises and what the blessings come pouring down. So we gotta let it rise. Lift your voice and sing. This song right here. Come on.
Tell them.
I said, Lord, the people praise
you.
Say,
Lord, the people praise you.
You know, we lift you up and praise you, Lord.
Lift you up and
hey,
praise
Lord,
you.
You are the Holy One.
You
yes, you are, Lord. You're the one, you're the only one.
You're the one, you're
come on.
The only one.
I said, Lord, the
yeah.
people love you.
Lord, the
yeah.
people love you.
And we place nobody above you, Lord.
Lord,
because you are the Holy One. Hey, Lord, baby, you're the one, you're the only one. Come on, everybody sing, holly, holly, hallelujah.
Holly, holly, hallelujah.
All the glory is to you, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, you are the Holy One.
Hey,
you're the one, you're the only
one.
I said, if I had 10,000 tongues,
if I had 10,000 tongues,
I would bless you with everyone.
Oh,
Lord, you are Holy One.
You are Holy One.
Say, if I had 10,000 hands,
if I had 10,000
hands, I would bless you as you come,
and
oh Lord, you are the Holy One. Holy One. Hallelujah. Give you praise. See, we want you to know, Lord. Words can't express how we feel deep inside. We think about your goodness, your grace, and your mercy, Lord. I can't help but praise the Holy Spirit. So good, so good.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. We will not have a guest in the segment of the Community Corner, so I'll go ahead and do my lesson to close out the show. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to meet me in Romans chapter 1. I'd like to read a few verses here. As we consider the subject, God hates sexual perversion. Now, Paul writing to the Christians in Rome. Now, I want to begin in verse 18, but let me read verse 16 and 17. And it's just because I love to read the scriptures. And Paul is making some very important statements here. One that Christians should never ignore and should always embrace. He says in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, this is my lesson text that I'd like to use for our subject on this evening. God hates sexual perversion. Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they that are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet." Verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, impalpable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." As I stated earlier, before the reading, our subject will be God hates sexual perversion. God hates sexual perversion. God has always hated sexual perversion. Despite the trends in our society today, and despite the leanings of our governing officials, God has always had a plan for man and woman from the beginning of creation. God united man and woman together in marriage in the garden, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. That's clearly understood. That was the standard for all mankind for all ages. Ladies and gentlemen, men have tried to modify God's plan over the ages, but they have always met with frustration and God's displeasure. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13, watch what the Bible says. The Bible says, if a man lies with a man, with a male, as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. That's the New King James Version. Clearly, man with man is unacceptable to God. And also in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 16 says, if a woman approaches any animal and mates with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. And again, it's quite clear that people with animals are equally unacceptable in the sight of God. Any combination besides a male and female relationship is unacceptable to God and is contrary to the design of both. Ladies and gentlemen, God's attitude toward homosexuals and lesbian relationships has not changed in the New Testament, despite the claim that God's grace will override all man's shortcomings. And we read earlier in our lesson text in Romans chapter 1 in verses 26 and 27, Paul says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. God's attitude towards homosexuals and lesbian relationships is quite clear. Now, notice, beginning back in verse 24 of Romans chapter 1, how these unions are described. They're described as uncleanness and to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves. In verse 26, calls them vile passions. Webster defines vile as morally based or evil, wicked, depraved, sinful. And he goes on to say, offensive to the senses or sensibilities, repulsive, disgusting. Now that's in Webster. The same verse says that even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. To exchange the natural use for something is to do something that is unnatural or against nature. The parallel to the lesbian relationship is seen in the homosexual relationship in verse 27 of Romans chapter 1. Paul says, likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful. Notice also that they, in their sexual lust for one another, are committing what is against nature. God describes these relationships as shameful. In today's society, movies and television sitcoms feed us doctrines that homosexuality is acceptable, natural, and good, but nothing could be further from the truth. Why would a man leave the natural use of the woman and vice versa? Well, the answer is given in verse 28 of Romans chapter 1, where Paul says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They simply wanted to do things their way instead of God's way. Such an attitude is a reflection of what we see in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6, when the Bible says, when everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul touches on the references of homosexuality and sodomy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. These sins, as well as various others, are described as lawless, insubordinate, ungodly, sinful, unholy, and profane. And in verse 10, Paul shows those that God specifically categorized them with the murderers, fornicators, kidnappers, liars, and perjurers. Verse 10 ends by saying that those who practice such are engaged in activities that are contrary to sound doctrine. The Apostle Paul again addresses these sins in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Paul says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And within this list of sins are the words homosexuals and sodomites. They represent the masculine and feminine aspect of these relationships. Be aware, all those who are listed in these verses are described as unrighteous. Unrighteous simply means that they are not right or found to be acceptable in the eyes of God. Also, it is stated twice in these verses that such will not inherit the kingdom of God. So since God's kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness, there will be nothing that enters it that is unrighteous. Ladies and gentlemen, that being the case, how is it possible for anyone to enter the kingdom of God since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? At Romans 3 and verse 23. Well, the answer is quite simple. One must stop doing those things that are unrighteous. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 again. A fornicator must stop fornicating. An idolater must put away his idols. An adulterer must stop committing adultery. Homosexuals and sodomites must cease in their sexual practices, and on we can go. But the Apostle Paul encountered all of these sins in Corinth as he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. Many of those he encountered became Christians. They left their worldly ways and committed themselves unto the path of Jesus Christ. That is why in the next verse, the Apostle Paul could say to those in Corinth who were members of the Lord's church, he says, "And such were some of you." And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Ladies and gentlemen, hope of eternal life rests upon God's grace and his mercy. and our turning from our sins, not just homosexuals and lesbians, but all of us. Amen. And I'll see you on the other side of the break.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me all along life's pilgrim journey. I want Jesus to walk with me.
Listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take this time to extend unto you the Lord's invitation. If you're not a child of God, and one cannot be a child of God until you are a Christian, until you have been born again, as the Bible teaches, then you are lost outside of Christ. It's not enough to be religious. You must obey the commands of the Lord. In order for a man to be saved, you must take heed and answer the gospel call. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. You must hear the gospel. John chapter 6 and verse 45. Romans chapter 10 verses 14 and 17. And the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 3. You must believe the same. Hebrews 11, 6, James chapter 2 and verse 24. You must repent. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. You must be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Acts 10 and verse 48, 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 21. And if you are a Christian, you've not been faithful in your service to God, we ask that you decide again by repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. We want to encourage you now to visit the Church of Christ in your area. Amen. And I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Amazing, amazing, amazing.
What a Word from the Lord radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with us this evening in a study of God's Word. I want to thank my special guest speaker, Clay Phillips, and his lesson. He always does a great job when worship becomes a curse. I certainly appreciate that word from the Lord from my dear brother, Clay Phillips. I certainly appreciate it. It is my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that the lessons that you heard on the show this evening have been beneficial to your spiritual lives. And that your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened because you not only tuned into this broadcast, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. So until we meet again, I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives and bless you real, real good. You've been listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
You are the reason I sing, the reason I breathe. Lord, you are the best thing that's happened to me. You are my joy. Lord, you are. Lord, you are. The reason I breathe. Lord, you are the best thing that's happened to me. You are my joy. Lord, you are. Lord, you are. You are the reason I praise. The reason I say that Jesus is my everything. You are my joy. You are my peace. You are the beauty that lives in me. You are my joy. The reason I breathe. Lord, you are my everything. You are my
and I'm thankful that I have you. Yeah, yeah. Oh, oh. Yeah, yeah. This joy that I have, the world is giving on. Therefore, can I take it away? Brother, come and help me out.
Yeah, you are my peace.
I'm grateful for your peace. You live in me, live in me, Lord. The joy that I have, I'm so grateful for you, Lord. The beauty that's in me, I get it from you.
You've been listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show, episode 147.
Oh Lord.